Jaya Yamuna Tira Vanachari. जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा मई की
जय।
श्री श्री गौर निताय की
जय।
निताय गौर प्रेमी
हरि हरि
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयं मुदीरये
ततो जयं मुदीरये।
Before reciting this Srimad Bhagavatam,
which is the very means of conquest,
one should offer respectful obeisances
to
the personality of Godhead,
unto Nara Narayana Rishi,
the supermost human being,
unto Mother Saraswati,
the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva,
the author.
Nasta Prayeshu Abhadre
भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी
by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service
pure devotees all that is troublesome to the heart
is almost completely destroyed
and loving service
unto the personality of Godhead
who is praised with transcendental songs
is established as an irrevocable fact. Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhus, Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you very much for coming together in the morning to hear from Bhagavatam. I want to specially thank His Grace Rasamrit Prabhu for inviting us over. I understand that it is in also celebration of Prabhu's son's birthday. How old is he, Prabhu? Four. Very nice. Gorang, isn't it? So this is how Vaishnavas use all what appears to be all material junctions of our lives as times to glorify Krishna. Whatever time we can use, which may appear to be material, because it is utilized for Krishna, Bhagavatam tells us we also become purified. So this is how devotees live. We are not fanatical to ignore the birthdays of our children, nor to ignore the fact that they are young, that they are by nature restless. By nature they will have to make noise. This is natural. You know, in Singapore also, whenever children start making noise, we tell everyone that it is their nature. No doubt, you know, children can be quiet, but very difficult. So better as adults, we concentrate on what is at hand than to concentrate on the movements of the children. Because when that happens, then that is also another form of distraction. So that way, we should just concentrate very well. One time Guru Maharaj gave a class in Ram Temple in Singapore, and we had no idea in the morning that when he was going to take the class, just next door to Ram Temple is Durga Mata's temple, in the same compound. And they were going to have a wedding right in front of the deities there. So we told them we had booked the place and you should have told us there was a wedding. So they said we can't change it because we forgot, you know, there was an omission. So we asked Maharaj, Maharaj, how are you going to continue? Wedding means, you know, traditional South Indian wedding. So Nadaswaram and the whole gamut of instruments are there. Mridangas are not like this, huh? Your ears will go. So like that, we are going to ask Maharaj what to do. Maharaj said, it's really up to you. If you want, you can hear the wedding or you can hear me. So this is what Maharaj said. Maharaj said, it's all a matter of what you desire. So that day, we all sat huddled next to the mic and the sound system and around Maharaj. And I tell you, till today, the contents of the lecture remain more clear in my heart and my head than any other lecture, because we have to strain to hear amidst all the distractions of the material world. So it shows us one thing. Devotional service is like that. We must be prepared for disturbances. We must be prepared for difficulties. And most of all, as today's verse will tell us, we must be prepared for the fact that death is going to come on us. So this is what we will try to discuss today. 8233. Sajjan Prabhu is very kind. Where is he? Whenever I come to Abu Dhabi, I know that he will fix for me all the classes. I can't choose anything, you know. This is his mercy, you see. यः कश्चिनेशो बलिनो अन्तकोरगः प्रचण्ड वेगात् अभिधावतो वृषम् भीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयाः मृत्यो प्रधावत्यरमं तमीमहि यः कश्चिनेशो बलिनो अन्तकोरगः प्रचण्ड वेगात् अभिधावतो वृषम् गीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयाः मृत्यो प्रदावत्यरणं तमीमहि यः कश्चनेशो बलिनो अन्तकोरगः प्रचण्ड वेगात् अभिधावतो वृषम् गीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयाः मृत्यो प्रधावतरणं तमीवहि
प्रचण्ड वेगात् अभिधावतो वृषम् भीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयात् मृत्यो प्रधावति अर्णं तमीमहि
यश्चनेशो बलिनोदकोरा
यश्चनेशो बलिनोदकोरा
प्रचण्ड वेगाभिधावितो वृषम्
प्रचण्ड वेगाभिधावितो वृषम्
भीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयात्
भीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयात्
प्रभावतरणं तमीमहि
मृत्यो प्रधावति अर्णं तमीमहि यकशिनेशो बलिनोन्तकोरगा प्रचण्ड वेगात् अभिधावतो वृषम् गीतं प्रपन्नं परिपाति यद्भयात् mrityo pradavati karnam tamimai
yakaschineso balinantakorga
yakaschineso balinantakorga
prachanda vegat abhivavato brisam
prachanda vegat abhivavato brisam
Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat
Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat
Mrityu pradhavati arnam tamimahi
Mrityu pradhavati arnam tamimahi
Yakaschineso balinantakorga
Prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham
Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat
Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat
Mrityu pradavati arnam tamimahi
Mrityu pradavati arnam tamimahi
Mataji
Yakaschineso balinantakorga Prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat Mrityu pradavati arnam tamimahi
Yakaschineso balinantakorga
Prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat Mrityu pradavati arnam tamimahi Yakaschineso balinantakorga Prachanda vegat abhidhavato brisham Bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat Mrityu pradavati arnam tamimahi
Please read the synonyms Yaha,
Yaha.
He who,
He who.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Kaschana,
Kaschana.
Someone,
Someone.
Ishaha,
Ishaha.
The Supreme Controller.
The Supreme Controller.
Balinaha,
Balinaha.
Very powerful,
Very powerful.
Antaka Uraga,
Antaka Uraga.
From the Great Serpent of Time,
From the Great Serpent of Time.
Which brings death,
Which brings death.
Prachanda Vega,
Prachanda Vega.
Whose force is fearful,
Whose force is fearful.
Abhidhavataha,
Abhidhavataha.
Who is chasing?
Who is chasing?
Brisham,
Brisham.
Endlessly,
Endlessly.
Every hour and every minute.
Every hour and every minute.
Bhitam,
Bhitam.
One who is afraid of death.
One who is afraid of death.
Prapannam,
Prapannam.
Who is surrendered?
Who is surrendered?
To the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Paripati,
Paripati.
He protects.
He protects.
Yad bhayat,
Yad bhayat.
From fear of the Lord.
From fear of the Lord.
Mrityuhu,
Mrityuhu.
Death itself,
itself.
Pradavati,
Pradavati
runs away,
runs away.
Aranam,
Aranam,
the actual shelter of everyone,
Tam,
unto him,
unto him.
Imahi,
Imahi.
I surrender,
I surrender,
or take shelter,
or take shelter.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Supreme Personality of Godhead,
is certainly not known to everyone.
He is certainly not known to everyone.
But he is very powerful and influential.
But he is very powerful and influential.
Therefore,
Therefore,
although the serpent of eternal time,
although the serpent of eternal time,
which is fearful in force,
which is fearful in force,
endlessly chases everyone,
endlessly chases everyone,
ready to swallow him,
ready to swallow him.
If one who fears this serpent,
one who fears this serpent,
seeks shelter. shelter of the Lord,
seeks shelter of the Lord,
the Lord gives him protection.
The Lord gives him protection.
For even death,
for even death,
runs away in fear of the Lord.
Runs away in fear of the Lord.
I therefore surrender unto him.
I therefore surrender unto him.
The great and powerful supreme authority.
The great and powerful supreme authority.
Is the actual shelter of everyone.
The actual shelter of everyone.
Please hear the purport. One who is intelligent understands that there is a great and supreme authority above everything. One who is intelligent understands that there is a great and supreme authority above everything. That great authority appears in different incarnations to save the innocent from disturbances. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Cha Dushyatam. The Lord appears in His various incarnations for two purposes, to annihilate the Duskriti, the sinful, and to protect His devotee. The king of the elephants decided to surrender unto Him. This is intelligent. One must know that great supreme personality of Godhead and surrender unto Him. The Lord comes personally to instruct us how to be happy, and only fools and rascals do not see by intelligence this supreme authority. The Supreme Person. In the Shruti Mantra it is said, Bishashmat Vata Pavate Bishodeti Suryaha Bishashmat Agnishchandrascha Mrityudhavati Panchamaha. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.8. It is out of fear of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the wind is blowing, that the sun is distributing heat and light, and that death is chasing everyone. Thus, there is a supreme controller, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material manifestation is working so well because of the supreme controller. Any intelligent person therefore can understand that there is a supreme controller. Furthermore, the supreme controller himself appears as Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Lord Ramchandra to give us instructions and to show us by example how to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, those who are Duskriti, the lowest of men, do not surrender. Namam Duskrino Mudaha Prapadyante Naradamaha. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord clearly says, Mrityuhu Sarvaharaschaham. I am all devouring death. Thus, Mrityu or death is the representative who takes everything away from the living entity who has accepted a material body. Thus, Mrityu or death is the representative who takes everything away from the living entity who has accepted a material body. No one can say, I do not fear death. That this is a false proposition. Everyone fears death. However, one who seeks shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be saved from death. One may argue, does the devotee not die? The answer is that a devotee certainly must give up his body, for the body is material. The difference is, however, that for one who surrenders to Krishna fully and who is protected by Krishna, the present body is his last. He will not again receive a material body to be subjected to death. This is assured in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Tyatva deham punarjanma naiti ma meti suarjuna. A devotee, after giving up his body, does not accept a material body, but returns home, back to Godhead. We are always in danger, because at any moment, death can take place. It is not that only Gajendra, the king of elephants, was afraid of death. Everyone should fear death, because everyone is caught by the crocodile of eternal time, and may die at any moment. The best course, therefore, is to seek shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and be saved from the struggle for existence in this material world, in which one repeatedly takes birth and dies. To reach this understanding is the ultimate goal of life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. So before we try and speak something on this very wonderful verse, we seek the blessings of our spiritual master, of Srila Prabhupada, of all Vaishnavas assembled here, so that we will not say anything wrong or offensive in the course of our discussion. Om Agnyanam Nirantasya
ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंरूपकदामयं ददाति स्वप्रकान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सर्वगणमातमितं सार्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनचैतं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता नमोस्तुते भक्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी करुणामयि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुमेव च वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरवृन्दः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Maharaj liked this verse very much, and whenever he spoke about this verse, did he take classes on this verse in Abu Dhabi?
Yes,
he did, right? In Rajkot, when he spoke on this verse also, I remember, and elsewhere, he always spoke of this verse in conjunction with the two verses before, because the two verses before, they give us the nice idea of how Gajendra actually came to this conclusion. And those two verses are also particularly important for us because they give us the psychology of a devotee who is presented with crisis, presented with difficulty, and at that time how that devotee reacts is very important. 90% of the time when devotees get into material difficulties, we become so discouraged that we think better I just leave this devotional service and go to do everything else but devotional service. But that is foolishness, Shastra tells us. Because whether or not you leave devotional service, the fact remains that without the shelter of devotional service, death is also coming. Birth is also coming. And for those who cannot escape from birth and death, only the devotional service offers the hope to come out. There is no other way. Sometimes people say, I'm suffering so much, but what has Krishna given me? Better I leave all this and go and pray somewhere, do something else. But what they don't realize is at the point of death, when they are ready to face the death, at that point the only personality in this whole entire universe who can save them from the difficulties of death and make them cross over this ocean of birth and death is Krishna, not anyone else. So Maharaj said it is very short-sighted of a devotee to get consumed by the material difficulties to such an extent that he loses faith in the Lord. He should understand that the material difficulties are coming not on account of the Lord, but on account of our own sinful activities. So whom are we to blame except ourselves? And because the sinful activities have their reactions, and because we are not on the pure devotional platform, naturally we are going to suffer the consequences of our actions. That goes without saying. But to blame it on Krishna and to say that the solution is to come out of Krishna consciousness is foolishness. If Gajendra, an elephant, could come to the proper intelligence and understanding of what he should do when he was presented with a crisis, then surely as devotees who have taken the birth in a human being's body, we should also learn from the pages of Bhagavatam how to handle the difficulties of life. I think there is one very famous point that Prabhupada brought up, you know, he spoke on this very often. Bhajana kara sadhana kara murti janle hoy. He said this as a Bengali proverb, and I remember that the translation went something like, whatever bhajan and sadhana that you have performed in your life, throughout your life, it actually will be tested at the time of your death. It's a very nice point. Whatever sadhana, whatever austerities, whatever bhakti you have performed throughout your life, that will be tested at the time of death. For us, Guru Maharaj was a very good example of fulfilling this proverb. Because it was obvious at the time of death that Maharaj was so fixed with Krishna that it was a reflection of how his whole life of bhajana and sadhana must have been. It is very telling. That's why Maharaj said, we may be covered or we may be pretending to be devotees all our lives, but we will be exposed at the time of death. At that point, we will become naked in front of the Lord in the form of mrityuhu. And at that point, just by seeing, oh, he has died terribly, the world will come to know what an actor he has been, or what an actress she has been. Because there is no way, Maharaj said, a real devotee of the Lord will die in the way that death will conquer him. He will die in the way that death becomes his platform for a higher life in devotional service. So this is something we should remember. And that's why Prabhupada always quoted this Bengali proverb. Whatever sadhana, bhajan you have done throughout your life, it will be tested at the point of your death. And this is the subject matter of what we are dealing with today. In the two verses before that, we know that Gajendra was in so much difficulty because he was placed in an inexplicable situation. He was the king. He was very proud of his possession. He had so many queens under him. He had so many little elephants around him. And despite all that, you know, unconquerable up to that point, he finally met his match, more than his match, in the form of the crocodile. And the crocodile was so powerful, Bhagavatam tells us, that for 1,000 years, Gajendra could not move. Can you imagine? You know, we are bitten by mosquitoes for a few minutes, we can't take it. This is the clutches of a crocodile for 1,000 years. And Gajendra tried everything, Prabhu and Mataji. He did everything. And he asked all his friends and great generals to help him. But nobody could help him. In the end, his relatives had to leave. His wives told him, I'm sorry, we got married to you on account of your protection. Now protection is not there, so we have to go and find another husband. So I don't think you can be called Gajendra anymore. You're not king of the elephants. You know? The great general said, we used to think you were the greatest general, but now obviously you're not because you can't come out of the material clutches of this crocodile. So goodbye also. So Haribol, everybody left. And only Gajendra was left. And at that point he chants the verses. We can sing together. Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam Pranasya Dehi Vivasya Yadrichaya Aparayan Atma Vimoksha Nechiram Dadyau Imaham Buddhi Matabhyapadyata. This is the first verse that he sings in his time of crisis. Itam Gajendra Sayadapa Sankatam. Sankatam, Prabhupada describes, is dangerous position. Sankat means dangerous position. So the first thing Gajendra accepts is that I am in dangerous position. Why? Because I am now under the clutches of the crocodile. I cannot come out. And no matter what I am trying to do, circumstantially I am helpless. My body is in difficulty and nothing is going to help me at this point of time. So thinking that way, he says that he was afraid of being killed and he consequently thought for a long time. This is what devotees must do. Maharaj said this consequently thought for a long time is very significant. Because when we are presented with the difficulties, we should not break down and lose faith. Instead, we should apply our intelligence. It may take some time, but by trying to apply the intelligence, Krishna gives us the intelligence to come back to him. This is the point of Tesham Satata Yuktanam. For one who is trying to serve Krishna, for one who is having faith in Krishna, he will somehow or another be given the intelligence to come back to Krishna. This is very important. And Gajendra had that intelligence. And in the second verse, he chants very nicely, Namami me nyataya aturam gajaha kutakarinya prabhavanti mochitam grahena bhashena vidhatura vritto apiyaham chatam yami paramparayanam. That's why Maharaj said these verses should not be chanted just because we have to chant them. They should be chanted lovingly to understand the mood of the devotee. So that's why we should not rush through our verses. Please don't be in a hurry to finish your pranams. Don't be like Baroda Express, you know, Maharaj's favorite, or Deccan Express or any other express, because we have to finish. You know, we should always sing lovingly and slowly. Then only we can really feel the mood of the verse. So Gajendra then goes on to think, now I've thought a long time. Now the result of my thought is this. One, I know now that my friends, family and relatives cannot help me. I also know now that all the great generals, they are all there, but nobody can help me. What to speak of my wives? I cannot expect my wives to pull me out when the generals cannot pull me out. Then he goes on to say, now I understand that this is happening to me only by the will of Providence. This is nice realization of a devotee. Anything that happens to us, we understand is only happening by the sanction of the Lord. If we understand that, then we see the hand of Krishna. But if we think it is a disastrous life I'm leading, you know, this is terrible, 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 why has Krishna forsaken me? Then we don't realize that it is not that Krishna has forsaken us. It is because we have lacked the faith in Krishna. So please don't blame Krishna for our misfortunes. Don't blame Krishna for the calamities. Rather, you embrace the calamities as Krishna's way of making us remember him more. If you believe that the solution to calamities is in the material world, then we are again more foolish. This crocodile caught hold of Gajendra, but Gajendra realized all material solutions are going to be zero. He then realized that the only solution that is there is to turn to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the only shelter. And he believed at that point correctly that this crocodile was sent by the will of Krishna. And this crocodile, as very nicely stated, is known as Pashena. Pashena means just like the network of ropes will bind a man, so too the network of Maya and illusion has bound us in this material world. So having understood the background, then he comes to the conclusion that I must take shelter now of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because he is Paramparayana. He is the one, Prabhu and Matajis, who can give shelter for everyone, and even of great personalities. So up to that point, we come to now understand that Krishna is our only shelter. We may think that we have been in devotional service for many years, and we know Krishna is our only shelter, but knowledge is one thing, action is another. When the time comes to test us, do we really believe Krishna is our shelter? Or do we go for all the material solutions, everything fails, alright, I forgot I'm a devotee, I'm initiated, I'm supposed to be under the shelter of Krishna, better come back quickly to Krishna. That is what we call post-dated thinking. You know, when instead of being pre-dated and preparing, after everything is over, upon hindsight everybody is a genius, isn't it? We all say that, you know, we all say that. So don't wait until hindsight has happened. On the spot, when the difficulties are there, the true mark of a devotee is he remembers Krishna. Because Maharaj said death, there's no such thing as post-dated for death. Death is yamasya karuna nasti. That means there is no mercy. Death will not say, okay, I give you 1 minute. You cannot say, time out, Yamaraj. You know, I need time. This is a basketball game. I need just a short time to gather my thoughts and then I will be ready to leave. No. When the time comes, we just must be ready. So the whole life is practice, practice, practice for the time of your ultimate performance. And that performance will be determined by Krishna and the stock of your good behavior. Which brings us to now the second point. Now we know the background. We'll understand one thing very nicely. That here you find in this verse, Gajendra, Prabhupada writes in the purport, understood. He understood that the great and supreme authority is there. And this is a sign of intelligence. So the first step for us to understand Prabhu and Mataji is that if we really want to be intelligent, we have to accept that there is always the authority of Krishna. In any situation. In any situation. Not just in this situation, but any situation. Problem is, when we go to work, we forget that Krishna is authority. When we come to temple, we are very well aware. When we leave the temple and we are with family, we forget his authority. This missing point is the problem in our lives. This is why we enter misery. That's why Prabhupada writes actually that Gajendra utilized his intelligence. And because he utilized his intelligence, this is the reason that he could understand his precarious situation. Otherwise, it was not possible for him to understand that his life was a razor's edge at that point. Anytime he was going to die. What is that famous verse in second chapter, first canto? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. Then Janeti Ashu Vairagyam
Jnanam Ahaitukam.
This is very nice. Ahaitukam. See, in this verse, Prabhupada very nicely states and he translates. I think it is 127, 127 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeve Bhagavati. He says that for one who renders the devotional service unto Vasudeva, Krishna, by rendering of such devotional service, two things happen to us. One, causeless knowledge comes. And second, detachment comes. This is the symptom of whether we are rendering devotional service or not. If we really are performing bhakti, we can see in our lives, are we getting the requisite knowledge? And what is this knowledge? The knowledge is to understand that Krishna's hand is in everything. The moment we lack that knowledge, it is to be understood that we are not performing the devotional service. We are just performing a ritualistic activity, not devotional service. But if we have that knowledge, then with that knowledge, Bhagavatam tells us, we then automatically will act to renounce the difficulties that are binding us to the material world. That is what Gajendra did. With intelligence, he renounced his expectations of others around him to help him. What a nice point. We are always expecting others to help us. In congregation or so, I expect Prabhu to behave in a certain way. I expect Prabhu not to yawn. I expect everyone not to do something to do something. But in the expectation lies attachment. But by dropping the expectation, Maharaj tells us, with knowledge, and that too causeless knowledge, which is knowledge from Bhagavatam, then the sort of renunciation comes into being. And this is what Gajendra did. Because he was rendering devotional service to Krishna, Krishna gave him intelligence to think and remember these two verses that he chanted. Crisis, I have to remember Krishna. And immediately Krishna gave him the strength now, forget about trying to turn to material solutions. We all know, Dukkhaushadam Tarapi Dukkham Atadhyayam. We know Prahlad Maharaj has warned us, material solutions are worse than the material problems themselves. If you think that your problems can go by running after everyone and anything except Krishna, good luck. You run and run and run for the next 20, 30 years of your life, and then you come back after running and come before their lordships, and then you please express your regret, because that is what will happen eventually. It is a fruitless exercise. So Gajendra understood that. Of course, it took him 1,000 years. We don't have 1,000 years. Now, we don't know how much time we have. I don't know whether I'm leaving Abu Dhabi alive or not. In any case, even if I leave from Abu Dhabi, it's good, because I think I'll go back to Krishna in the assembly of good devotees. And of course, prasadam is endless. I've been telling Swayam Prabhu, the difficulty in Abu Dhabi is not anything else. It's how to manage the prasadam, you know. Every time I leave and I go back, right, the family looks at me and say, why is it that you're putting on weight whenever you go and you're losing weight when you're in Singapore? I can't explain it, except that there is so much devotional service. So there is intelligence, there is renunciation. And when there is renunciation, at the moment of danger, we don't remember our friends, we don't remember our family, because we know they cannot help us. They are in the net. You are in the net. If someone tells you, I'll free you from the net, you laugh at him. You are in the net, I'm in the net. How are you going to free me from the net? We must look for someone who's outside of the net. And this is what Gajendra did. Why could Gajendra have this intelligence? How could he have this intelligence? This is also another important point we should remember. The intelligence came because of the stock of his good behavior.
because of the stock of his good qualities. This point Maharaj made very, very nicely. Because the stock of his good qualities is there. And the stock of his good quality was manifested in his previous life and his devotional service in his previous life. Because he was Indrajumna Maharaj, very pious king, very devoted king, all the stock of his devotional service was never lost. Never lost. We believe we can solve everything in this world with the stock of what we have here. But we don't realize this stock is going to end when we end. But the stock of bhakti, it never goes. Most permanent investment in the whole world is bhakti. And it was proven in the life of Gajendra. It allowed him to speak this verse of 8.2.33 because of the stock of his good behavior manifested in his devotional service. And what is that nice verse? 4.21.44 Kunayanam shiladanam kritagnyam vriddhashrayam samvrinate anusampadah prasidatam brahmakulam gavamcha janardana sanucharascha mayam. Gunayanam means stock of good qualities. And shiladanam means one whose wealth is good behavior. And the last point is kritagnyam. So these three qualities, very nicely it is stated in 4.21.44, I think. Yeah, 4.21.44. Nicely stated that when one has these three qualities, particularly he has a stock of good behavior, good qualities. What is the point of reading Bhagavatam when our character is not good? Just think about it. 90% of the world don't want to come to Krishna. The atheists turn around and tell us, all of you go to temple, chant very nicely, do big puja, big kirtan. But when you are talking and behaving, apart from devotees, we see your true colors. You are behaving like this, you are not considerate, you are careless, you are not expert at your work. Man, how can you be a devotee? These are the favorite reasons that the atheists give us to say why they should not take up devotional service. They say, better I just be a good person. Because you remember Krishna, but you don't show it in your behavior. This verse tells us that they must go hand in hand. Hand in hand. If we are all sitting down to hear Bhagavatam, the logical conclusion to that is it must have an imprint in our character. If there is no imprint in character, then what is the point of Bhagavatam? Something is seriously wrong. Something is missing. It's like watching a movie without noise, you know. There's no volume. You're just watching. Something must be wrong, isn't it? Movie is running, but where's the volume? Something is wrong. So that's why Gunayanam, Shiladanam are the two qualities that Gajendra carried with him as Indradyumna. Because he practiced the sincere devotional service. In the next life, despite having the total lack of qualification in the form of an elephant, that devotional asset did not leave him. He carried it with him. And that asset was found in his behavior. Because of his stock of good behavior previous life, Krishna gave him the intelligence to remember the chanting of the holy name and chant beautiful prayers which he will chant in the next chapter. That's why Prabhupada writes in that famous purport to the first chapter, he says that's why it is very important for all devotees to remember some mantra. Even if it's not Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, any shlokas. Why did Guru Maharaj stress so much to us about shlokas? Very often people misunderstood, oh, we are becoming Brahmanical, we are becoming Pandits. But that's not the point. The point is when you remember a mantra, at that point of time when there is difficulty, Krishna saves you on the strength of that mantra or Maha Mantra because it is non-different from Him. Non-different. In Singapore we teach children Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhakta Nam Abhayankara, Tvam Meko Adayamana Nam, Apavargosi Sanshutihe. We always tell the children, because last time Maharaj came and he told the children, if you get scared of your teachers, you just chant Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. Because one child didn't want to go to school. So Maharaj asked him why. Then he started crying. He said, I'm very afraid of my teacher. So Maharaj said, no problem. When next time you see teacher, you just chant in front of teacher, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. You know, and Maharaj said like that, you won't be scared of teacher. Teacher will become scared of you. Then teacher will behave very nicely with you. And true enough, whenever these children are in difficulty, whenever they are going to cry, you hear them straight away. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhaktanam Abhayankara, Tvammeko Dhyamananam, Apavargosi Samsrite. And this verse has meaning to this verse. This verse has a meaning to this point. Because there, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Arjuna, pure devotee of the Lord, he is praying to Krishna before he discharges his Brahmastra at Ashwatthama, that you are the only person in the whole world who can instill fearlessness in our hearts. And Prabhupada writes extensively on the fear of death in this purport. He says that we are always fearing death. Let's not cheat ourselves. Nobody can say, Prabhu, I don't fear death. Now we can say, because it appears that death is not around us. Right? It appears, huh? We don't know. But when death comes, it is a frightful thing. Maharaj told me very often, when the death stares at you in the face, Devaki, at that point, right? That's why 90% of people pass urine and stool at the point of dying. I can vouch for that, because I worked as a volunteer for 10 years in a hospice where terminally ill patients will die. So every week I was there, and every 2 weeks that person whom I was assigned to serve, he will die. And every time that person was going to die and I was there, inevitably at the point of death, they were so fearful. They could see Yamadutas. They would say, he's coming for me, he's coming for me. One night before, they would start speaking that way. And by the time the death approached them, they were so fearful that they could just squeeze your hand, you know, to the point where, you know, after they have gone, your hand is like sprained. That's how much fear they manifested, you know. And they would inevitably pass stool and urine. Always the nurses had to clear them, clean them. That is the truth of how people die. But the pure devotees of the Lord, they leave the world in total satisfaction and bliss. They live in such a way that they are completely satisfied because they are at the lotus feet of Krishna. Gajendra could understand that that was the only way to face the clutches of the crocodile. There was no other way. Because for him, crocodile equals to death. It was death now staring at him in the face. So he said, now better I become prepared. So this point is this. When Gajendra came to this realization, then he understood that the only asset he had at that point of time was his remembrance of the Lord. And that was given to him on the stock of his good behavior. That's why Maharaj always told us that our behavior must reflect our Bhagavatam. Because only when our behavior is there, that is the only asset that we carry with us. That is our transcendental opulence. A devotee is not wealthy. He is very opulent. That's a fact. And for a devotee who is opulent, 325-38 of Srimad Bhagavatam confirms and guarantees us one point. Na karhinchin matparaha shantarupe nam shanti no me nimisho le dihe dihi te shamaham priyatma sutascha sakha guru subhridam daivamishtam. It's a beautiful verse. And that verse, Kapila Dev assures his mother Devahuti that, mother, you please know one thing. The transcendental opulences of the devotee, they are never bereft of them. No weapons, no time can ever have an influence over them. Why? Tesham aham priya atma sutascha. Because these devotees, on the level of priya, on the level of priti purvakam, on the level of being dear to Krishna and lovingly rendering devotional service to Krishna, somehow or another, because of Krishna's mercy, they approach Krishna through as a friend, as Daivamishtam, chosen deity, as their chosen Lord, as their guru. In that way, they establish wonderful relationship with Krishna. And on the platform of that relationship, their transcendental opulence is protected forever. Death cannot touch the devotees. This is the point that Prabhupada is making in this verse. That finally, Prabhupada says, we will have to face death. But for those who face death and who have been devoted to Krishna, Krishna assures us we never face death again. The material activities stop. So for a devotee, that is a boon. Because his aim is to serve Krishna. It is not painful. But rather, it becomes something which is very powerful. Otherwise, Prabhupada describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the serpent of eternal time. For a devotee who is not with Krishna, for
for some reason if he forgets Krishna, because we are 6:30 devotees, then immediately atyakraman avinyataha. Krishna in the form of time, he has that capacity to overtake us like a fast car going down the road. Before you know it, you are leading, you see the car from very far behind, before you know it, the car has overtaken you, right? And before you know it, he's just off and you're gone. So that's why Maharaj said the nature of death is that it is atyakraman, it is avinyata. It is imperceptible. We don't know when it will come. It is subtle. We don't know when it will take us. But it overtakes us. And it only happens to two people. One who is completely engrossed in the thoughts. That's one. Second, in what thoughts? The thoughts of family affairs. And how to expand our jurisdiction of wealth. And expand our jurisdiction of material attachment. Evam graheshu saktanam pramattanam tadvihaya atyakraman avinyataha kalaha parama dustaraha. This is the point that Vidura was advising Dhritarashtra. And this is the point that always catches us, even as devotees. Because we have the natural tendency, unfortunately, in a conditioned sense in this world, to accumulate. You know, yesterday, Swami Prabhu and I, we were just driving, and Swami Prabhu is doing nice seva. He feeds the pigeons, you know, sometimes. So as he's feeding the pigeons, he was telling me how he learns from the pigeons. And I could understand this point nicely from him. He was saying that every day if you leave something for the pigeons, on that day they will eat. They don't fight, they just eat. And after eating, nobody thinks, oh, we have to save for the rainy day now. They just depend on the Lord, because next day, if someone comes, and the Lord will send someone, they will be fed. But the nature of man, Prabhupada writes in his lectures, is that the moment we take one, we are not satisfied. Then we think, oh, we need two and three for the rainy day. You know? So while it is going to be sunny, good. Before that, save. So Maharaj said that we must be balanced. Some saving must be there. Doesn't mean today no savings. Matajis will kill me for the lecture. But what we mean to say is that what we save should be utilized in service to Krishna. And whatever that comes from Krishna as residue is utilized in service as your obligation. Not the other way around. That first Mahaprasadam goes to family. And then from Maha is going to Krishna. That is the false thinking that we should have. That we should avoid. Otherwise the thinking always is, I will earn money. I will do all this and I'll put aside something for Krishna. No. Maharaj said no. You earn money and you put large part of it for Krishna. And then you say, whatever that is balanced, I'll take care of my family. Maharaj said, if you say that, your balance will be more than enough to take care of family. And whatever that you wanted to give for Krishna will be very, very wonderful and very encouraging for your devotional service. Unfortunately, the mind always thinks the other way. Save for the family first, right? Then put for Krishna. But if Krishna is really the root, what are we doing? What are we doing? If Krishna is our Supreme Father, who's our first family? So family first is Krishna. And after we water the root of the plant, then don't worry, yogat shemam vahami aham. Krishna will give you what you lack and he will definitely preserve what you have. That is his guarantee. But it comes on the basis of intelligence, on the basis of renunciation, on the basis of good stock of behavior, and on the basis of rendering of sincere devotional service. Otherwise, what is that famous verse? Prabhu, you also got that from me last time. 424.66. This verse is one of Maharaj's favorite also. So whenever we see the serpent of eternal time, 424.66, we should remember that warning that is given in the chanting of the song sung by the Lord Shiva himself. And this point is very nice. That unfortunately for us, we are always so busy, mad, planning for this and that. And uncontrollable greed is there, that we forget Krishna. We forget that the Lord comes in the form of eternal time, and he's so alert that before we know what is happening to ourselves, he consumes us in the form of death. Maharaj always gave this story of this man, you know. He was very rich man and he was from Maharaj's village. So it was not just a story. They knew him to be a very rich man. And he was doing very well. But stingy poker number one. Whole life he was just thinking of how to save money and how to earn money and how to hide money. That's all he was doing. And at the end of his life, you know, when his sons gathered around him and they were looking at him and trying to chant the prayers for him to become, you know, Maharaj said they were all chanting nice prayers for him, you know. And Bhagavad Gita was going on. Suddenly the man opened his eyes and he was going to chant something. So Maharaj recalled that everyone was very happy that he was going to speak something on Bhagavatam or chant with them Krishna's names, Ram's name. Instead he opened his mouth and he told his son, somebody has borrowed salt 2 weeks ago. Better get back the salt from him. And after that he left the world. Maharaj said, I think he became salt after that. Can you imagine, at the last point of your life, it suddenly strikes you that, oh, so and so borrowed salt from us, better take it back. Salt! This is because of uncontrollable greed. We may laugh, you know, but I think our laughter is tinged with unease. Because the truth is, it can happen to us. At any point of time, some form of greed will come in our hearts, apart from Krishna. That's why Maharaj says, if we are greedy, we should be greedy for the devotional service. We should be greedy to change our lives. That is proper greed. But not the greed for the material acquisitions. Because they will leave us. And death will come and death will take that also. So finally the point we must understand, Prabhupada says in the purport, fear is good. A devotee should fear. Sometimes we say we come to Krishna consciousness just to become fearless. Bhaktanam avayankara. And then now Prabhupada writes here that fear is a good proposition. How can it be? Just like how Guru Maharaj always tells us, you must envision the day of your death. This is the point Prabhupada is making in the purport. That until and unless we are struck by the fact that this could all leave me, we will never start acting. Until we get slapped on our faces, the truth is, how many of us do fired up devotional service when everything is cushy? When everything is cushy, our devotional service also becomes cushy. You know, have you noticed? I found that very true. When everything is going fine, we will always say, Prabhu, Krishna is very merciful to me. He has given me nice family, nice children, nice wife, nice prasadam. You know, and my material arrangements are perfect. And he's giving me nice job. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. The part that is being missed is, are we remembering Krishna? We may say every day, I thank Krishna, I thank Krishna. But are we increasing the quality of our devotional service? That is where gratefulness, kritagnyam, is important. When good things come, we remember Krishna. That is good. But if suddenly Krishna reverses our life, the true hallmark of a devotee then is he going to keep telling, Prabhu, Krishna is very kind, very compassionate, he's made my life miserable. Nobody speaks that way. If they do, Maharaj said, he is the devotee. He is being tested. And he can come to understand that the hand of Krishna is in good and in bad. Because the truth finally is, samsara dharme. That it is the nature of the world. Just like nature of fire is to burn, nature of water is to flow, the nature of the world is to inflict misery into every one of our lives. We can't escape. It's only time. Better we get everything now and keep up the practice of remembering Krishna. That is why Prabhupada writes here that a devotee, he fears death. But he doesn't fear death because death is supreme. He fears that he must not remember Krishna, that he will not remember Krishna. That fear should push us to take on the devotional service. We can use any emotion in this world except envy in the service of Krishna. So if fear is there, then we should take shelter of one who is fearful to fear personified. One who is fearful to death personified. That's why whenever Krishna gave anyone the assurance that he will protect, you can be assured Yamaraj was very, very far away. Very far away. And when everyone was supposed to be saved from death, you can be assured Yamaraj was sitting also there. You remember the Naimisharanya participants? Thousands and thousands of rishis and munis sat down. And Yamaraj was also there. He also sat down. And because he had no time now to deal with anything else, in the meantime, I think Aryama, right, was sent to deputize. And Prabhupada writes very nicely, and Maharaj told us that the reason why the participants of Naimisharanya could live so many years was because Yamaraj was too caught up with the devotional service to care for them. So one way of conquering death is to make sure you do nice devotional service. Yamaraj becomes very happy and he'll forget, oh, time is there for you to take. He will sit with you and Krishna will now come into your life and he will manage your death. You want higher management to manage your death, you want lower management to manage your death, that's up to you. But when it comes from Krishna, then as Dhruva Maharaj himself, before he left the world, Yamaraj himself put his head down and in the form of respect, he placed his head down so that Dhruva Maharaj could step on his head and move on to the airplane to take him away. This is how the devotee conquers death. You remember Ajamil in Bhagavatam. How did Ajamil conquer death? His only stock of good behavior was the first few years of his life when he was a pakka brahmana and a pure-hearted boy. Then, within a few years, in his teenage years, just the embrace of the Shudra and Shudrani was enough for him to turn away from Krishna. And for 50, 60, 70 years of his life, he forgot Krishna. Total sinful activity. At the tail end of his life, just because of the stock of good behavior, he puts name Narayana to his son. And after that, he calls out not even Krishna. He doesn't have intention to call Narayana. He's only calling Narayana his son. And on that strength, Yamadutas come. And they say that your book is so thick, it's thicker than Bhagavatam. So how many cantos of sins you have, we can't even begin to explain. Chitragupta Maharaj is having a headache writing and writing and writing. Now finally your life is coming to end. Let us take you back. But at that point Vishnudutas come and say, excuse me, I'm sorry, but this man doesn't belong to you. Yamadutas give you one whole chapter to tell you, no, he belongs to me for all these reasons. And Vishnudutas, they refute it by saying, everything may be there, but our consideration overrides everything. Why? Because he chanted the name of Narayana. And Yamadutas say, yes, but he chanted it not with the idea of chanting Krishna's names. He chanted it with the idea of his son. We know what was in his mind. So again, he has done sinful activities. And then Vishnudutas give them the bomb. They say, I'm sorry. Lord Vishnu accepts. This also he accepts. Visa, diner, express, everything he accepts. So even if you did not think about Krishna, the fact that he chanted the name innocently, the fact that he chanted it offenselessly, without any crookedness in the heart, that I'm just going to chant this name, it'll save me now. You know, this kind of thinking is dangerous for devotees. We always say, I'm chanting. Okay, then few years I leave. Now at the end of it, because of my chanting, Krishna, you have to help me. Then Yamadutas are going to come. Just for that crookery, Yamadutas will come. But he was not like that. No doubt he led sinful life. But innocently he called Krishna's name. And that innocence, Maharaj says, is a quality very hard to keep in our hearts. As we grow in devotional service, unfortunately, we become not so innocent. We learn to find the crooked ways, the politics. You know, we know how to be nice to a devotee, and a devotee not priority list, not so nice. This one very high priority list, better be stock of good behavior, quickly come out. You know, not so much stock of good behavior, keep aside. This way we become crooked in our hearts. And when we become crooked, we don't realize supreme crooked is Krishna. He is the original three-banded form. We can't even bend ourselves, but he knows how to bend. So whatever that we are doing, he will catch us like a snake. Maharaj says, snake also knows how to bend. Snake knows how to go into every corner. So in the same way, Krishna in the form of time, if you want to cheat him, Maharaj said, he will cheat you. And when he cheats you, you have no time to cheat him back. Because by then, Mrityu is staring you at the face. There is no time. So Ajamil showed us, Gajendra showed us. And the result of this was that because Gajendra was fearful of his life, he did not turn to anyone else. But he did what Arjuna did. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhaktanam, Abhayankara. He turned only to the one Supreme. So our shelter is only one. He is Krishna. And we cannot go to him directly, no doubt. But through the agency of our spiritual master and through the parampara and the goodwill of the devotees, they will protect us and Krishna will protect us in the devotional service. And because of that, he finally came to the conclusion that he had to chant Krishna's names only. And that is why in the next chapter, evam vyavasito buddhya samadhaya manovidhi jajapa paramam japyam prajanmani anushikshitam. And very nicely it is stated that he fixed his mind in his heart, because heart is where Krishna is. And how beautifully he fixed his mind, which is always chanchal, into his heart with perfect intelligence. And the same point Prabhupada starts at the start of the chapter, at the start of this purport, he ends in the first verse of the next chapter with perfect intelligence. And because of this perfect intelligence, Krishna allowed him to remember the mantras. And by the grace of the Lord, he chanted these mantras. And by the grace of the Lord, at the end of all his chanting, the Lord himself came. Just like the holy name appears before the Lord comes, and the Lord appears before the holy name, or they appear simultaneously, in the same way as Gajendra chanted to remember the Lord, Lord never forsakes his devotee. He came and saved Gajendra from the clutches of the crocodile. And after saving Gajendra, Gajendra then became real devotee of the Lord, and he perfected his existence and he went back to Krishna. So this conclude, the conclusion to this verse is very important for us. The first is the fact that at the very beginning of the translation, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly not known to everyone, but he is very powerful and he is very influential. This point we should remember. We may not know Krishna because we don't have capacity to know Krishna. That's why he's not known to everyone. But we should always understand he's very powerful and very influential. Influential means even those who don't believe in him, it will, his laws also act on them. We may say whatever we want about government. I don't believe in the government. I don't want to pay tax. But when the tax notice comes, you have to pay. Right? Whether or not you like it, you have to pay. You pay and you are blessed. Don't pay and you are in prison. So you pay with Krishna the way he wants, according to his orders, you are in devotion. But if you don't, you are with Durga Mata. You decide whether you want to be with Krishna in his internal potency or you want to be with Maya in his external potency. This is the point we have to understand. And it's very interesting, I forget the purport, but in the third canto, I think I think it is fundamental principles of material nature, 27th chapter, Prabhupada makes this point that when one summons the Lord and prays to his internal potency for protection, then the name of the Lord in that form is very interesting and is very significant for us. When Lord is prayed for with his internal potency, he's not known as Vasudev. Vasudev is when he is alone, Prabhupada says. But when he is with internal potency, he is known as Dwarkadish. So it's a very beautiful point, you know, for us to remember. That's why there is no accident that Maharaj wanted Dwarkadish in our lives. Because only when we take shelter of internal potency of the Lord through the favorable devotional service, we will progress. Gajendra was favorable to Krishna. He did not curse Krishna. First you made me an elephant. I was Indudyumna. You know, I did so much work and now I became elephant. After becoming an elephant, another 1,000 years of headache to hold my leg. I have given up on you. No more, no more. Then the serpent of eternal time would have consumed him. The only person appearing in that lake on that day would have been Yamaraj. But we, 1-2 years of suffering too much. 1-2 days of suffering too much. When our lives turns upside down, oh, it's too much. But just think about Gajendra, 1,000 years. How much capacity he had. That's why devotees must tolerate. That's why the first point that he's described as not known but very powerful, the implication to us, Maharaj said, is to remember the verse 5.1.12 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Natasya kasche tapasa vidyayava na yoga viryena manusayava na evarta dharme parata huvatova kritam vihantum tanubhred vibhuyaha. 5.1.12, Maharaj says, is a very important verse for us because it tells us without any exception that no one can defy the orders of the Lord. This is the point we have to understand. Once the Lord has sanctioned something, you cannot avoid his orders. This is a rule devotees must live with. If you don't live with it, you will die. And Prabhupada translates it, one cannot avoid the order of Krishna, not by your strength, not by exalted Vedic education, not by great austerities, not by great level of intelligence, not by any form of physical prowess, not by any form of intellectual activities, not by any form of power of religion, not by any form of material opulence, not by any other means, either by himself or any other person. In other words, no one can defy the orders of Krishna from Brahma down to the insignificant ant. Such a powerful verse. Why is it important for us? Because the natural tendency for us in conditioned life is that when something comes, we don't accept it as order of Krishna. We want to defy it. And at that point of time, we should remember, this is the implication of the verse. Don't defy. Because once he has sanctioned, it is going to happen. If a calamity is going to come, Prabhu and Mataji, it is going to come. Accept it as a devotee and he will save you from the effects of the calamity. Don't accept it as a devotee, then the calamity hits you full force like a tsunami. Then you are finished. That's why Maharaj always said, Krishna is like discount emporium. You know, whole year he gives you subsidies. Of course, during Kartik month, the subsidies increase. The discount increase very much during Kartik month. That we know. But all throughout the year, there is a sale. Every time 20%, 30%, 40%, the only qualification is how much you want to surrender to him. And according to that, the sale increases. I mean to say, not the price, but the discount. So the discount is there for all devotees. When something bad happens, the great devotees of the Lord pray and say, Krishna, it could have been worse. Gajendra would have thought it could have been 2,000 years. But now only 1,000 years. So like that we may think, Prabhu, you don't know my difficulty. I'm in great difficulty. And this is another problem of ours. Each one of us thinks that our difficulty is the greatest in the world. Isn't it true? In our deepest of heart, if someone says, Prabhuji, I'm in difficulty. After you hear him, what do we normally think? Ha! He thinks his difficulty is difficult. If only he knew what my life was, Prabhu. You don't know how much I've gone through. And we say it with so much ego and relish, you know. It's a perverse thing. I've gone through so much suffering, you know, you don't know. And you feel like a hero. But the truth is, if it's really a suffering, you must be suffering. But our ego is so great that even in suffering we want to be proud. It's a ridiculous situation. But it's like that. So like that, you know, we get into so much of forgettable position and we cannot remember Krishna. That's why we must remember that it is only his sanction that allows anything to happen. So nothing in the world is wrong for us. Nothing is right either, but nothing is wrong. Everything can be used for Krishna, provided we want to. And the last point I want to share with you is the famous verse of 2.3.17. Are you who? And the meaning is very beautiful. Right? The rising and setting of the sun, they decrease all our lives. Except for one who utilizes his time, not in anything else, but in glorifying the Supreme Personality of God. That's why if we have these programs, the reason for us to come together is not prasadam. The reason for us to come together is not because this is pious activity. It will do me good. When we organize a festival, the reason for us to come together is not, Prabhuji, 1,000 people, 200 people, how many people came today? Success? No success. Based on crowd? No. When Prabhupada was asked in Coventry, after he gave a class, Prabhupada, we found that the program was a failure. Prabhupada asked, why? Because only 6 people attended. Prabhupada said, no, it is a total success because we just glorified Krishna. And we don't care how many people come and how many don't come. And Prabhupada said, just in case you did not know, Narada Muni was here, Brahmaji was here, all demigods were here. That's why Krishna arranged that all the people could not fill the seats because the seats had to be kept for them only. That's why we are so foolish in our devotional service, Maharaj says. We are in the numbers game. We are in, let's plan this program, let's plan that program. you know, let's do this puja, let's do that puja. What does Krishna say? Abandon all varieties of religion. Religion simply means rituals. Don't make the devotional service a ritual. Whatever that we do, do it with a pleasing attitude to Krishna. Then Prabhupada writes in that last purport, a devotee of the Lord in 2.3.17 is guaranteed eternal life. Beautiful point. He dies, but his death and before that his old age and his disease are but an impetus to such guaranteed life. And when Maharaj was winding up his pastimes, when we were reading this verse in Nasik, Maharaj alerted me to this last line. He said, Devaki, this is my position now. I am taking solace that my Lord, you know, is giving me impetus that if he wants, you know, I can just wind up everything. One time in Singapore, Maharaj was sitting on the beach and he was sitting on this bench, you know, and it was a beautiful day because the breeze was there, the sea was there, and frankly, we were all feeling very sleepy because we had a long morning and long night, and Maharaj just took his top, he bunched it up, he put it down, and he went to lie down on the bench. So we all sat down around him, and he closed his eyes and he said, see how nice is the creation of Krishna. And then he said, then he told me, Devaki, if sleeping is so nice, because you know, for a while we become peaceful, just think how it is to sleep forever. How wonderful it must be just to sleep away from all this material existence and to be with Krishna eternally in his service. So then again this year, after so many years, when he said that old age and disease is an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life, I could come to understand that that is what Maharaj was saying. That finally, the devotee is not afraid of death, but he is afraid of not remembering Krishna at the point of death. That is his fear. But that fear is good fear, because it is the fear that will always make him turn to Krishna, his Supreme Father, for protection. And if we have that mood, that only Krishna can save us, then death actually will assist us. Yamaraj becomes our good friend because he is Mahajan and he is not an enemy. So we don't embrace death in difficulty. We don't embrace the calamities in difficulty. But we don't make our life now into a ritual. Otherwise what we do will be just concocted. We just have to do it, we do it. And we should be very clear about only observing the devotional service the way our acharyas have given us, and not mix it with funny rituals, funny ideas, funny way of living. Gajendra became very fit. He abandoned his previous free and loose lifestyle and he renounced everything. Because he wanted to come to Krishna, Krishna gave him the facility to renounce everything. So finally, everything in devotional service comes down to one point. Do we desire? If we desire enough to serve Krishna, why won't Krishna send acharyas? Why won't he send Bhakti Devi to come and assist us, to get us on the path to serving him? There's no logical reason why he won't. The only impediment is our speculation and our ritualistic behavior. I want to end by remembering one devotee, you know, we had a lecture in university just before I left. And one person asked, what is the meaning of religion? Because abandoning varieties of religion, Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita so much about religion, and then at the end he tells Arjuna to abandon. Why did he waste his time? And I explained to him what Maharaj told me, this nice story he told me. He said that one time there was a wedding, and one young boy, his sister was getting married. So his sister was getting married, Pujari had put all the, you know, items and all, you know. You know, I don't know how it is, but mostly, you know, when you have weddings, there's a lot of items. And 90% of the time, we don't know what they are and why they are there. But after a while, when everything was ready and they were going to start, this cat started running around all the paraphernalia. Pujari got scared, you know, he's going to drop everything and it becomes, you know, impure. So he found a basket and he put it on the cat and kept it on the side. But somehow, because of the rush of doing the work, he forgot to take the cat away. So amidst all the planning and the prayers and everything, on the side was the cat under the basket. Years later, this boy was going to get married. It was his turn to get married. So he settled everything and he saw all the paraphernalia and he got the pujari. And just before that they were going to start the marriage, He told Pujari, one item you have forgotten. So Pujari said, everything is here, why? I'm the Pujari, I know what I brought. He said, no, you have forgotten one thing, Panditji. What is it? Where's the cat? Under the basket. That item is not there. So this is how Maharaj said, when the pure devotional service and principles have come to us, we concoct and add. We put other things into it. And then after a while we package it and say, this is our bhakti. And that package is what is killing us actually. And that is what Krishna says at the end. You please abandon the varieties of your speculations, of your rituals. If you want to do chanting as a ritual, please abandon it. If you want to do this Bhagavatam reading and study as ritual, please abandon it. But the point is, after abandoning this ritual, you then please seriously study Bhagavatam. That is surrender. That is the essence of what Gajendra did when he finally was faced with this crisis. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki
Jai!
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki
Jai!
Jai Shri Gurudev ki
Jai!
Jai Gaur ki
Hari Hari Hari.
Are there any questions, comments, Prabhus, Matajis that you'd like to bring up? Yes, Prabhu.
We were talking about the Gunayan and Shiladana. The stock of the good quality.
A bit louder so everyone can hear.
The stock of good quality, which we are saying by. So as long as we are with Bhagavatam, these qualities are there. The moment we come out,
yes,
everything evaporates.
Yes.
All the time.
Prabhu brought up this nice point. Yes, Prabhu?
How really?
Prabhu said that when we are with Bhagavatam, we have stock of good behavior. But when we are not with Bhagavatam, somehow the stock of behavior goes. So how to inculcate this stock? Actually, the answer is there. The answer, Maharaj said, is that the answer is in the fact that when we are with Bhagavatam, we are not serious. So that's why actually there is no stock. So when Bhagavatam pages are closed, there is nothing. When we are with Bhagavatam, we are studying Bhagavatam for all the wrong reasons. We are not unmotivated. We are not uninterrupted. We approach Krishna for so many things except to glorify Him. With this mood when we read Bhagavatam, how can the culture of knowledge be established in our heart? Dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirva saranam satam vedyam vasava atra vastu shivadam tapatrayatrayanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kim Vapareshwaraha Sadyo Vitti Avaruddhate Atra Pratibhi Shushrushri Tatshana. The answer is actually in only this verse. That the moment we approach Bhagavatam by not rejecting all forms of material intentions in our heart, then that reading of Bhagavatam is ritual. We cannot inculcate good behavior. But when we approach Bhagavatam really to reject all material intentions which are couched in religious activities, then Bhagavatam reveals itself to us. Then naturally one who reads Bhagavatam, he acts Bhagavatam, he lives Bhagavatam. Everyone is very peaceful with him because he has become Bhagavatam. You can tell, Maharaj said, someone who speaks Bhagavatam, reads Bhagavatam and acts Bhagavatam, he is loved by everyone, Maharaj said. Everyone cannot, even if they want to find the fault, they find very difficult. They are just drawn towards such a person. But when a person studies Bhagavatam, shlokas here, shlokas there, 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 17, 4, 24, 66, everything is thrown in. And after that he finishes, the moment he opens his mouth, everything is non-Bhagavatam. Then how can anyone be attracted to such a personality? They will know he is doing one thing, he is doing another thing. And Maharaj always said this, we may not know how to cook prasadam, but we know how to taste prasadam. We will know immediately. We may not be experts, you know, in cooking, but the moment you put something that's wrong, the person who eats, even if he's fool number one, he'll say, Prabhu, something wrong with prasadam today. Likewise, Maharaj said, if we really want stock of good behavior, the start of the stock is in the point of the study and the mood at the point of study. That's why if that mood is correct, tatshana, without delay, this culture of knowledge will be established. if the mood is not there, then no matter how much study is there, as Maharaj said, you're all on mental platform. That's why you're mental. You cannot come out of mental platform. Bhagavatam also you put on mental platform. Then how can it be practical? No doubt Bhagavatam's power is so powerful, it will purify us eventually. It will. But why take the long route when we can follow the way of our acharyas who took quality time with devotional service instead of just counting, let the years pass by, I'm initiated, 1 year now passed, go on, 2 years pass, go on, 3 years pass. Hopefully by the end, because of my long years of service, you know, Krishna will say, okay, long service medal is there, just bring him back. Krishna won't do that. Krishna wants the best of the best. The rest, throw you back again, start doing everything again, hopefully come to our senses. So this is the reason, Prabhuji. Why, you know, reality and illusion, there is such a break. Because we read, but we don't do anything. Yes, Prabhu.
Small question.
Please, Prabhu.
There are different religions in the world, like Christianity and Muslim.
Yes.
This question always haunts me. Whether Lord Krishna is the Lord of all the religions, or because they are, they, this particular community, this religion, they are praying different gods. This Lord Krishna is the Lord of all these religions, including this. Or it is only for us, Hindus, the Lord.
Krishna says in Bhagavatam that it is from him, actually, that all religiosity, all spiritual life, all bona fide religions are coming. So as long as a religion is bona fide, that's why Prabhupada accepted Christianity and Islam as bona fide. Though he said that in the course of time, you know, certain things have become wayward. But Christ and Muhammad, Prabhupada said, our sastras recognize them as true messengers of God. According to time, place and circumstances, they preached the message of Godhead. No doubt the principles may not be entirely Vedic, but Krishna says in 4.11 of Bhagavad Gita, Ye yata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. But it's the second part that's important for us. Krishna says in translation that everyone finally are all offering respects to me in all respect. So this point means that actually everyone is searching for Krishna. And so the religions are born in the world as different ways to find the truth. But finally the object of the truth is one person. Because he is the founder of the Supreme Truth, he is non-different from Supreme Truth. That's why you will not find the word Hindu in Bhagavad Gita or Hindu in Bhagavatam. Because the word Hindu doesn't exist. The word Hindu came because one section of the people who lived on the other side of the Khyber Pass near Afghanistan, along the river Sindhu, called the people on the other side of the river as Sindhus. But because they could not pronounce Sin, they pronounced it as Hin. So Sindhus became Hindus and the name stuck on throughout history. And so everybody on the other side of the Khyber Pass, which is modern day India today, have become Hindus. But we know, Prabhupada says, that our religion is known as Sanatan Dharma. And Sanatan Dharma means eternal. Dharma, Prabhupada translates in purport in the first chapter of Bhagavatam. Dharma means that which sustains your existence. What a beautiful translation. Yes. That which sustains your existence is Dharma. So that supreme occupation of humanity is actually to render the devotional service to the Supreme. Doesn't matter what religion you may be under, what color, skin, caste, creed, but as long as you are rendering service to that Supreme, and that service is unmotivated, it is uninterrupted, it will satisfy yourself. So in all manners, Prabhupada very often met Christians, he said, just be a good Christian. Sometimes he told them, you can be devotee. But sometimes he told them, just be a good Christian, follow the principles of Christ. Christ said, don't kill, don't kill. Don't say, thou shalt not murder, when he said, thou shalt not kill. So you are right, Prabhuji. Krishna is the origin of all good dharma in this world, because he is the source of all dharma. Is that okay, Prabhu? Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else? Matajis? If not, thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much for tolerating also. Devotional service, tolerance is so important. Isn't it? Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki
Jai!
This day Devi Nanda Prabhuji Ki
Jai!
Jai Shapru Paach Lagrudev Ki
Jai!
I would just like to express my hearty gratitude towards this day Devi Nanda Prabhu for coming here and enlightening us. He is a real sadhu. And now one point which really struck me again and again, Prabhu, in your concluding word is, don't make our bhakti as ritualistic. And I remember categorically last year when you came in Radha Damodar Prabhu's house, you told, don't come to program because you like it. Come to the program because Krishna likes it. And also I think it was a Gajendra episode, and so that even an elephant is teaching us. So such a nice realization and enlightenment you have given us. And I'm really very, very thankful to you that you came here too. And also personally very grateful to his best friends Kutri, and also to Sajjan Prabhu that he agreed to keep Mangala Aarti here.
No, we are happy. Devotees are greedy, you know. Wherever we can find the place, you know, like snakes, you know, we just come in and take over. You are kind to have us here, Prabhuji.
Thank you
very much. Very kind.
Faces are becoming bad sometimes.
Yeah, that's
I'm
why
really very, very sorry. I don't. Anyway, I think because of Devaki Prabhu speaking, maybe some demigods are here, so there is some space problem.
He is not a problem.
They could be in the balloons for all you know.
Balloons.